People generally like to know what to expect, and if you're visiting with us especially, you might like to know that today's lesson will be presented by all four of the elders, and it is good for the congregation to hear from all of the shepherds, not just from one of them all the time, but from all of them. And so today you will hear from myself, and then John, then Mark, and then Bob. And then I will finish up. We are going to talk about goals. It has been our tradition to set goals for the congregation at the beginning of each year and to work on those throughout the year. And today we're going to introduce those goals from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. As you think about these goals, these are goals that I am excited about. I believe that they're goals that if we will truly work on these, that we will see some changes that could not have been otherwise possible. I believe they're things that will impact so many areas of our lives. And you see there, you don't see it yet, but you will. You see there that in 2019, let us. We find in those verses there are three let us passages. And I would like to introduce that study by looking at verses 19 through 21. The scripture says there, therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I want you to notice that the goals that we are setting forth are only possible because of what Jesus has done for us, because of the path of salvation that he's made available to us. In fact, as you look there at the bottom part of that verse, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. What Jesus has done for us, become our high priest. He is our leader. He is the one we follow. And these goals are only possible because we have a great and mighty high priest. We have Jesus who has done these things for us. It says because of what Jesus has done, we can have boldness. I believe that the goals that we are laying forth for this year are scriptural goals, but they are also bold goals. They will call upon us to look into our lives and to make changes, to make improvements, to work at something, and to make that part of our lives. I want you to notice here how he describes this in an exciting way. He says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. New and living way, this way of the gospel that we can live. It's not like the world around us. We're called to be different. And so I'd like for you to notice just a couple of other things with me. We said it's in 2019, let us. The let us is not just unimportant. It's not just a little introductory phrase. Each of the other brothers is going to bring forth something that we are to do. But when we look at this, we look at the word let. And we see there that there is a call to action. Well, when John stands up in just a moment, and he talks about the verse that he's going to talk about. The idea is that it's calling for us to do something, to make a difference, to be active. And then we see the word us. And these goals are not just, well, go home and work on these on your own. But these are congregational goals. And we are to be united in accomplishing and completing the goals that we've set forth. I hope you're as excited as I am. I'm excited to hear our brother speak about these goals. And in 2019, let us. And we're going to hand over to John, and he's going to begin the first point.
Good morning. In 2019, let us draw near to God. In Merriam-Webster Dictionary, when you look up the drawing near phrase, you might see that it means to come closer, to move towards, or to approach. Think about these definitions as we go through the passages that we're going to cover, and we can see how we need to draw near to God. In the 73rd Psalm, beginning in verse 27, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'd encourage that. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verses 27 and 28 read, then they will see for indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who've desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. We must draw near to God and place our trust in him. And we can see there that those who have not drawn near or abandoned God will be destroyed. Also in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 7, it reads, Jesus here says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus here referenced Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13 and addressing the scribes and Pharisees about their hypocrisy. We can see there that they were binding the traditions of men as the doctrines of God, and they were honoring God only in lip service. We need to ensure that we draw near to God with our heart, with our mind. Likewise, in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 27 there, I'll read verses 27 and 28, and then I'll skip down to verse 34. Verse 27 reads, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." If you move down to verse 34 there in Luke chapter 21, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that the day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." We must not allow ourselves to be ensnared by the cares of the world and the temptations of this world. We need to continuously watch and pray in anticipation of Jesus' return. We can see that this thought carries on in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And here it reads, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." When we submit to God and resist temptation, Satan will flee from us. And as we submit to God and draw near to him, God will draw near to us. Also in Hebrews chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 14, and read through verse 19. It reads, "Therefore it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." The priesthood of Jesus in the order of Melchizedek is superior to that of the Old Testament Levitical priesthood. And we can see here that we are to draw near to God by holding fast to our faith in Christ. And then lastly, in Hebrews 10 and verse 21 and 22, taken from the reading that we had a few moments ago, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, beginning in verse 21, "And having a high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Cleansed and made pure by the blood of Christ, in 2019, let us draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. I'll be followed by Mark.
If you look in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, I'm going to be talking about the idea of holding fast. We're going to look at verse 23, and we're going to see how that we can build upon and how the Hebrew writer builds upon what he's talking about there. We have the let us that's going on that John talked about. Let us draw near to God. Verse 22 describes an instance where it's a start. It's a good start. We draw near to God. We're cleansed. And it's a really good start. And John mentioned that, how that we can start in that way. But when you look at chapter 10 and verse 23, after we have started, what do we need to do? We need to continue to draw near to God. But the Hebrew writer goes in and he talks about a few things that are extra there that we can continue to do, that we need to do while we draw near to God. Look at verse 23. We'll read it together. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In this one verse, there's about three items that we want to look at. He says, let us hold fast. We need to hold on to the profession, the confession of our faith or of our hope. That very thing that caused us to have a good start, to get started, we need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to that hope. And he goes on and he talks there, how we're to hold on to that hope without wavering. We're not to hold on sometimes and let go other times. We're to hold on without wavering. And we'll see more of that here in the book of Hebrews in just a minute. And then he gives us encouragement. We need to latch on to God. We need to hold on to that hope and that faith that we have. And one of the encouragements is that God is faithful. God's not going to leave us. God's not going to desert us. If we hold on tight, God will be there and he'll be helping us. I looked at the phrase, the idea here of holding fast. And I just went in the book of Hebrews. If you want some background on the book of Hebrews, it's written to Christians who seem like they might be wavering a little bit. Here were some Christians. And maybe they had unrealistic expectations. Some of them, it seems, expected Jesus to return very quickly, like in their lifetime. And when that didn't happen, they started wavering a little bit. There were persecutions that were going on at this time. The troubles and the trials of life. There were many things that caused these Hebrew Christians to maybe waver a little bit in their faith in Christ. And the Hebrew writer writes, and he uses that phrase, that concept of hold fast, and he uses it in several different places. And I just want to go and look at some of those and see how it's used. And we'll talk about that. In Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 6. In chapter 3, the phrase hold fast is repeated twice that we're going to look at. In verse 6, it says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So you look at this passage, and we're going to talk about holding fast. We've become Christians. We've drawn near to God. We've cleansed ourselves. Now what do? We need to hold on. We need to hold fast. And if you look at that verse, it says, we need to hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope. Look at the last phrase. Firm until the end. It's not something that we're to hold on loosely to. It's not something that we're to hold on for just a little while and then let go. That's not what our faith and our confidence is supposed to be like. Our hope, all of that. We're supposed to grab on, to latch on, hold on tight, and hold on tight until the end, verse 6 talks about. Drop on down to verse 14 in that very same chapter. In chapter 3 and in verse 14, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Notice the repetition there. We're to hold fast. We're to hold fast firm. We're to hold fast tightly. And we're to hold fast without wavering till the end. So appreciate the imagery that the writer here is using, that God is using, to try to convey that concept to us. Latch on to God, latch on to our hope, our confidence, our faith. Never let go, hold on tight until the end. And there's another passage I want to wind up with in Hebrews chapter 4, where he uses this again. There's three verses in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. He says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So in these passages we've looked at, the Hebrew writer is conveying the idea of we've drawn near to God. We have this faith. We've confessed our faith in Christ. We have this hope. Now what do you do between the time that you initially do that and the time that your time is either up on this earth or the Lord returns? What do you do in the meantime? Well, he says, in the meantime, you hold fast, firm, until the end. There's a category of historical tattoos called sailor tattoos. And as you can imagine, some of them are quite inappropriate. But there was one that was really appropriate, I thought, to what we're talking about. Go ahead and put it up there. In historical times, there would be sailing ships. And men would climb up in the rigging, up way up in the ships. They'd be 50, 60 feet above the water. And the ships are tossing and turning. And a historical tattoo that sailors would get of who went up and did that job was they would have that tattooed across their knuckles. The idea of holding fast. And you can imagine being on a ship, way up in the rigging. The only thing between you and death is your grip onto the ropes that you're climbing on. No safety harnesses. Your grip is the only thing saving you and keeping you safe. And you think about this, the idea. There's things that come into our lives as Christians. There's troubles. There's trials. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes there's health issues. Sometimes there's financial troubles. Sometimes there's temptations. Sometimes people come into our lives that discourage us. You think about all those things in your life as a Christian, as you're drawing near to God, as you're living your life as a Christian. Think about all the things that could cause your grip to loosen. And we all know people who are started out good. They drew near to God, but they lost their grip and they fell away. And what we need to do, and what this Hebrew writer is encouraging us to do, is to hold fast to that hope that we have. Hold fast to that confession of Christ. And when we combine all of these passages in Hebrews, we're to hold fast tightly. We're to hold fast firmly. We're to hold fast always without wavering. We're to get a death grip on our faith and hold on to it all the way to the end. And we're given encouragement in these passages. We saw that God is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talked about how that Christ did it. We have a high priest that can sympathize with us. His example is held up. He grabbed on, he held on until the end and was pleasing and faithful to God. And that's what we need to be. So as we think about our year coming up, maybe it's time for us, some of us as Christians, to get a better grip, to get a tighter grip on our faith and our hope and our confidence. And we're certainly all encouraged as Christians to hold on tight to that hope and that confidence and that faith that we have, to hold on tight to Christ and to never let go, no matter what comes into our lives, to cling to God and the Savior and to always hope in Him. And that's what we need to do in 2019, is we need to hold fast to our confession and our faith and hope in Christ. And Bob will continue with the next.
In 2019, we need to consider one another. Maybe adding to what Mark says, we need to hold on to each other. But Hebrews 10:24 through 25, says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's first look at this in a bad way, to consider one another. Do you consider in a bad way? As we see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? We need to consider our own sins and repent of them, because the world out there loves to call us a hypocrite. But if a brother or sister calls us that, then that cuts deep. And cuts deep like a wound that's hard to heal. So let us not be hypocrites. Let us watch what we say, and that we may edify each other as we are told to do in Ephesians chapter 4, 15 through 16. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. They're working together there. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The more we work together, the stronger that brotherly love would be. Let us think about others to create an action of love. Do you consider your brethren after you leave services? I might add, you might, in a good way. Sometimes we think of them in a bad way. It is usually negative that we make a comment about. But how about finding positive things to comment about each service or after each service? Like the saying goes, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Do you consider the sick? Do you remember to pray for those that are sick? Make a list of names, would be my suggestion, and why they need to be prayed for. It will help you consider them in your prayers. If you're like me, I'm very short on remembering names. Even when I know the person, is like, what's your name? I can't think of it when I want to. So the list is really helpful. Do you consider the fallen away, those that have been withdrawn from? Do you consider caring for in a way that the fallen away, to add them to your daily prayers and remember them? Do you consider the struggling? Some have fallen away and come back but are still struggling. Do you check on those also that have missed assembling with the saints, with or without a given reason? Some don't realize that forsaking the assembly affects not only them, but also everyone else that would have been encouraged by them being here and their faithfulness. Do you consider the need of others? Do you see a need of one or more saints and then do what you can to help fulfill that need? We can make a long list of stuff like this, but let's look at the other side. Do you accept the consideration of others? On the flip side, it is also an action of love to accept help when it is offered to you. Give thanks to God for it. If you won't let a brother or sister in Christ help you when you're in need, it is like cheating them out of a blessing. Acts 20, verse 35 says, it is more blessed to give than receive. That's a blessing you've cheated them out of. Do you consider being considerate? Saying please and thank you. Let's see if we can say thank you more, as opposed to just telling someone to go do something. You might want to say to your kids, could you do this for me, please? And thank you. When politely dealing with children, you say please and thank you kind of quick together. That way they don't have time to back talk you in between. And then they want to do what you told them thank you for, because you've already thanked them for doing it. So they feel obligated to do that. It's kind of that power of suggestion. How can you not do what they've already been thanked for? We won't have to remind our kids to say thank you if we are the example we should be, always saying please and thank you for everything, especially in our prayers to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, in Colossians chapter 3, 12, starting at verse 12, we are told how to act towards each other and to be thankful. It says there, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But of all things, put on love. All these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And it says, and be thankful. There's a saying, no man goes to heaven or hell by themselves. So let us consider how and who we are affecting to go the one way to heaven or the many ways to hell. We influence people every day in our lives. I leave you with this exhortation from the Apostle Paul. Now we, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, Paul will bring us the rest of the lesson.
Appreciate these brothers' thoughts so much. I want us to think about the things that they have brought forth and just remind you of some of the applications of what, as the leaders of the congregation, shepherds here, what we are hoping to see among ourselves and among all the congregation during 2019. That we would be drawing near to God. Some of the things that John mentioned to us is about having a relationship with one another, being closer to God than we have been in the past. John talked about being focused on drawing closer to God, about the submission that we need to have to realizing who God is. What we're talking about is appreciating God, desiring to be closer to Him, understanding who Almighty God is, that we want to serve Him faithfully. When we look at the words that Mark brought forth, some of the thoughts I wrote down, and I made notes as these brothers were talking. We need to be faithful to the commitment that we've made. We want to serve God. We want to be near to Him. And so we come to Him through Christ. And in coming to Him through Christ, we make a commitment that is so important and so lasting. You know, we have emphasized in seeing a couple of weddings recently how important it is for young people to realize when they get married that they're making a very serious commitment. But you know, when someone becomes a Christian, when someone decides they want to draw near to God in obedience to the gospel, they make a serious commitment as well. And we understand that commitment, and I like those words that Mark used, endurance, that he mentions there that our commitment, our confession is firm. And Mark says we do it while we wait for Jesus to return. And in so many words, Mark said, get a grip. When we face struggles and problems of life, don't let go of your faith, but hold on to that more and more tightly. And then Bob talked to us about considering one another. Living lives of service, looking at how we can help and be helpers to one another. You know, I wrote down some things here that as we consider one another, we have the same God that we're drawing near to. We have the same family that we are close to, the same goal, the same hope, the same confession. And so we need to develop closeness and assistance and help for one another. And so a year from now, how can our lives be different? If you will set these as real goals, and as a congregation, we set these as real goals of what will happen if we hit the target. Well, if we draw near to God, we've made a great start, as was mentioned. We live with full assurance, the scripture mentioned and John reminded us of. And as we hit the target for holding fast our confession, we do that without wavering. We see strength that is developed, and we see that we are stronger to God, stronger and closer to God than we've ever been before. And that goes for Christians who have been Christians for many years and those who are just starting out. We can be closer and better servants of God, more appreciating Him and holding even more firm to the confession that we have. And when we hit the target of the goal of considering one another, we can live with one another in anticipation. Those exhortations that Bob talked about in Hebrews 10, it says that we do those even more and more as we see the day approaching. And so those are our 2019 goals. As you look at these are goals for the congregation here. Goals for Christians. And maybe as you look at that, you've never obeyed the gospel. And so you need to have the goal of drawing near to God, but you need to do that by turning away from sin, repenting of those sins, confessing Christ before men, being baptized into Christ Jesus, so that you can be close to God, so that you can have that confession, and then not only make it once, but live it for the rest of your life. Maybe there's a child of God here who you've not held fast, you've not held firm. And you need to come back in repentance and confession and prayer to God. Why don't you start this year? We're just a few days into it. Why don't you make 2019 a year of faithfulness and hope for you? A year in which you can draw even closer and closer to God. You can hold fast your confession firm to the end. And in doing that, you can serve others as part of the family of God. If we can help you to be right with God right now, please come have a seat on the front as we'll stand and sing.